Good morning and welcome to Simply Finance. It's Thursday, March 28th. On today's show, Ally Financial names Discover Chief Michael Rhodes as CEO, and we take a look at royalty payments as a new way to finance or fleece startups on Startup Street. Plus, SocGen appoints APAC Head of Sustainable and Positive Impact Finance. This coverage and more, up next. I'm David, and you're listening to Simply Finance. We start off with a significant shift in the financial sector, as Ally Financial has announced a new CEO, Michael G. Rhodes, who will assume the role and join the board of directors on April 29th, following his resignation as CEO of Discover Financial Services. Here with more on this is our correspondent, James. Can you tell us more about this transition?
Certainly, David. Michael G. Rhodes is set to lead Ally Financial after an extensive search process. The board has expressed confidence in Rhodes, citing his versatile consumer banking experience, his data-driven decision-making approach, and his commitment to creating long-term value for stockholders.
And who has been leading Ally Financial in the interim?
Douglas Timmerman, Ally Financial's president of Dealer Financial Services, has been serving as the company's interim CEO since February 1st. He stepped into that role following the departure of former CEO Jeffrey J. Brown at the end of January.
What has Rhodes said about his new role at Ally Financial?
Rhodes has expressed admiration for Ally's transformational approach to digital banking and its leading position in automotive finance. He commended the bank's successful use of technology to create financial solutions for its customers and communities, aligning with its do-it-right mantra.
What about Discover Financial Services? How are they handling Rhodes' departure?
Discover Financial Services accepted Rhodes' resignation on March 26th, effective April 1st. They noted that Rhodes was not expected to have a long-term role at the company after the completion of its merger with Capital One Financial Corporation. On the same day, Discover's board appointed J. Michael Shepherd as interim CEO and president of the company, effective April 1st.
And what can you tell us about this merger between Discover and Capital One?
Capital One announced plans on February 19th to acquire Discover in a $35.3 billion transaction. This merger will create a global payments platform with 70 million merchant acceptance points in more than 200 countries and territories.
That was Simply Finance reporter James with a significant development. Now, let's switch gears to the latest season of Shark Tank India, where a new trend has emerged. Investors, or sharks, are now demanding royalties in addition to an equity stake for their investment. This is similar to what celebrities do and aligns with what's been happening in the US edition of the show. Bella, our correspondent for Simply Finance, is here to delve deeper into this phenomenon. Can you tell us more about this trend?
Certainly, David. This trend is quite interesting. In the past, investors on Shark Tank typically asked for an equity stake in the businesses they invested in. However, in the latest season of Shark Tank India, they've started asking for royalties as well. This means that they're asking for a percentage of the company's future sales or profits, in addition to owning a part of the company.
How does this compare with the previous seasons of Shark Tank India?
Well, in the first season of Shark Tank India, there were 115 pitches, and 65 of them got funded. In the second season, there were 165 pitches, and 103 of them received funding. However, the demand for royalties is a new development that we've seen in the third season.
And how does this trend align with what's happening in the US edition of Shark Tank?
The trend of demanding royalties is not new in the US edition of Shark Tank. In fact, it's quite common for sharks in the US to ask for a royalty in addition to an equity stake. This allows them to earn money from the company's sales or profits, even if the company doesn't become hugely successful or get sold for a large amount.
What could be the implications of this trend for entrepreneurs who pitch their ideas on Shark Tank India?
This could have significant implications for entrepreneurs. On one hand, it could mean that they have to give up more of their future profits to the sharks. On the other hand, it could also mean that the sharks are more willing to invest in their businesses, since they have the potential to earn money from the investment, even if the business doesn't grow significantly.
Thanks for that update, Bella. In other financial news, Société Générale, or SocGen, has announced a new head of sustainable and positive impact finance for the Asia-Pacific region, Paul-Antoine Thibault, who was previously the director of energy transition and sustainable finance within the bank, will be taking up the role based in Singapore. Here with us to discuss this is Michael, a correspondent for Simply Finance. Can you tell us more about Thibault's new role?
Certainly, David. Thibault will be leading the bank's regional mandate of the Sustainable and Positive Impact Finance Group in the Asia-Pacific region. His key responsibilities will include supporting the origination and structuring of sustainable finance products, ensuring alignment with SocGen's environmental, social, and governance targets, and scaling up impact-based solutions. He will also be promoting advisory services to support the bank's clients.
And who will Thibault be reporting to in his new role?
Thibault will be reporting to Eliza Eng, SocGen's head of global banking and advisory for Southeast Asia, on a local level. On a regional level, he will report to Stephanie Clement de Givry, SocGen's head of global banking and advisory for the Asia-Pacific region. And functionally, he will report to Eric Bonin, SocGen's global head of sustainable and positive impact finance solutions.
What is expected of Thibault in his new role?
Thibault is expected to leverage his experience and expertise in sustainable finance and advisory to raise awareness and share insights on the latest ESG trends. He will also be nurturing a culture of sustainability within the bank and fostering collaborative initiatives within the industry to drive collective action towards sustainable practices.
Can you tell us more about Thibault's background?
Thibault has been with SocGen since 2007. He first joined the Energy Project Finance team in Hong Kong and relocated to London in 2015 as Vice President of Natural Resources and Energy Project Finance. There, he strengthened the bank's position in the offshore wind sector. He moved to Singapore last year. Throughout his career, he has played leading roles on numerous advisory and arranging mandates for oil and gas and renewable projects across the Asia-Pacific and the EMEA region.
Thanks for the insights, Michael. In other finance news, Bajaj Housing Finance, a subsidiary of Bajaj Finance Limited, is reportedly in preliminary talks with several investment banks about a potential initial public offering. The company is eyeing a valuation of around $9 billion to $10 billion in line with regulatory norms. Here to discuss this development is our correspondent from Simply Finance. Can you tell us more about this potential IPO?
Certainly, David. Bajaj Housing Finance is planning to raise between $900 million to $1 billion through this proposed IPO. This move is in line with the Reserve Bank of India's mandatory requirement for upper-layer, non-banking financial companies, or NBFCs, to list within 3 years of being notified. Bajaj Housing Finance has until September 2025 to list under the current regulatory timeline.
What can you tell us about the discussions Bajaj Housing Finance is having with investment banks?
The company has held early negotiations with a select group of domestic and foreign investment banks regarding the proposed listing. A syndicate of investment bankers will soon be chosen from this pool, and the deal is expected to be initiated in the coming weeks. This would be the first IPO from the reputed Bajaj Group in several years.
And what will the IPO consist of?
The IPO is likely to be a combination of primary and secondary issue of shares. However, it's important to note that these are early days and no final decision has been made. The plans and the quantum may change depending on market conditions.
Could you explain the regulatory regime for upper-layer NBFCs?
In September 2022, the RBI announced a list of 16 NBFCs in the upper layer under its scale-based regulation for NBFCs. The framework categorizes NBFCs into four layers: base, middle, upper, and top. The upper layer comprises those NBFCs specifically identified by the Reserve Bank based on a set of parameters and scoring methodology. Bajaj Housing Finance is part of this upper layer.
What can you tell us about Bajaj Housing Finance's current operations?
Bajaj Housing Finance is a diversified NBFC catering to more than 76.5 million customers across India. It provides finance to individuals and corporate entities for the purchase and renovation of homes or commercial spaces. It also offers loans against property for business or personal needs, as well as working capital for business expansion. For the 9 months ended December 31st, Bajaj Housing Finance had assets under management of Rs 85,929 crore, a 31% increase over the previous year.
That was Simply Finance reporter Celeste with some valuable insights. And with that, we wrap up our stories for today. Thanks for listening to Simply Finance. We'll see you back here tomorrow.